It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're studying the book of Romans, Romans chapter 9. We're going to begin with the 8th verse today, Romans chapter 9, verse 8. So please, that you'd open your Bibles and prepare for the study. While you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. That's Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to call us, our phone number here is 217-847-2717. That is 847-2717. If you'd like to check our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. And it's have many messages, our Constitution, the plan of salvation. So please that you take a look and enjoy it. And I hope that you have a wonderful opportunity in learning the Word of God, coming to know the Lord Jesus. So please just take a look and enjoy it. Also, if you would like to email us, our email address is parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either will work just fine. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Romans chapter 9, beginning to read with verse 8. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for the same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay, for the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another to dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath, and to make his power known, endureth with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared to glory, even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. Now we're going to end the reading there. We read more than we normally do, but we needed to kind of get everything into place, and we'll probably find ourselves down through about the 16th verse today. But let's go to the Lord in prayer now after we've read his precious word. Father, thank you today that we can come and enjoy this precious study. I ask that you'll take these precious, sweet words that you have given us and speak to every heart. The power is not in my voice. The power is in your word, dear Father. So please, that your word, your power will go forth, and the Spirit of God, your Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, will be able to come and penetrate the heart of those that are lost, convict them of their sin, and show them the great need they have of a Savior, and then show them to your Son, Jesus. So please, that today many will come to know you as their Lord and Savior, and many as well that have already joined the family of God because of their decision, their personal decision to invite the Lord Jesus into their heart, that today they would enjoy this study and grow and learn your precious word each and every day. So please, dear Lord, just guide and lead us now. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. When we look at the opportunity that the nation of Israel held, and I'm going to back up here and read from the fourth verse down through to verse 7, because it is all tied together. The problem today with not only the nation of Israel, but with a lot of church members, they are holding to the doctrine of their church, and they have no idea whether that doctrine is in line with the Word of God. They know what their church teaches. They know what they have been taught from their youth. And it may be perfect. It may be exactly in line with God's Word. But it might not be. And in many cases, it is not. So please, that you look to the Word of God. You examine the Word of God. I was told once right after I was born again, right after I was saved, when I questioned something that was in the Word of God because it was contrary to the church, the religion that we were a part of at that time. And I said, this is what it says. And their comment immediately was, I know that's what it says, but that's not what it means. And it was totally contrary to the Word of God. Now, many people would rather listen to a denomination and to a given church and their doctrine than they would to study themselves the Word of God. Part of the reason is they're not born again. You don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior until you have trusted in Him and the Spirit of God comes to live within your heart. Now you have the teacher that can show you God's precious Word and receive the blessing from it to be born again. So we need to understand that. We need to do that. But I ask you today that you'll come with an open heart and an open mind, and you'll look to the Word of God, and you'll search that precious Word, not a given church or religion, but the Word of God. Now, the nation of Israel has done the same. They have held on to their traditions and what they've been taught through the time and again tradition, instead of what the Word of God has told us. And because of that, they miss Jesus. Now, if you're an Israelite, if you're a Jew, you can be saved today. But the whole nation has been set aside because they have rejected the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet they had all kinds of evidence through the Old Testament. And we're kind of talking about that here. And so I ask you that do not stand up on your own understanding through your religion, but look to the Word of God for salvation. It's the only place it can be found. And then look to the Word of God for your growth and your strength as well after salvation comes into your life and into your heart. Once again, we're going to start now and look at this fourth verse. Who are Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises? Whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came? Who is over all? God bless forever. Amen. Verse 6, not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. So we're beginning with the process here of understanding that just because you're of a descendant, a direct descendant of the nation of Israel, does that mean that God is pleased with you? Does that mean that you are born again, you're saved because Abraham is your father? And the scripture here is very clear to say that is not true. That is not true. And we need to look to the Word of God here and recognize that everyone must make a personal, have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. Paul was an Israelite. Paul was a Jew. But Paul was born again. And he recognized that he was bound by the law. We've spent many weeks talking about that. He was bound by the law and not free with the grace and the joy that God would give them. And so we begin now with this eighth verse, and it says, "That is, they which are the children of flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed." The Holy Spirit is here pointing out the fact that they which are the children of the flesh are not necessarily the children of God. And when it speaks of the children of the flesh, it's tying it in back to the nation of Israel. And so in today, Israel's still in that condition. They have not accepted Jesus as their Savior, as a nation. They have rejected it. And they're still living under the Old Testament rule and law. They're bound by the law. They have no freedom. They refuse to accept the grace of God. What a sad, sad statement. But many of you folks may be in the same condition because you are following after your church doctrine and not the Word of God. Now, maybe that's not so. But I want you to look. I want you to find out. Go to the Gospel of John, John chapter 3, and begin to read concerning what happened with Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a Jew. And Jesus told him right up front, and Nicodemus was no slackard when it came to studying the Word of God, because he knew the Old Testament, and yet he knew something was missing. And Nicodemus was born again. Jesus says he must be born again. You must have that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. So I want you to see that. Just because your father, your grandfather, your great-grandfather, your families have all been in that church, maybe it's a great church, and I hope it is. I hope that you have not wasted your time, and I hope that your descendants have not awakened in hell because they were misinformed of the Word of God. They were not told you need that personal relationship with Jesus. I hope that they were told and taught the truth. But there's only one way that you're going to find out, and that is for you to go into the Word of God. And so please, we study the Word of God, and I want you to understand that. That's what we must do in order to have the truth and receive the blessing of God. The earthly descendants of Abraham are not necessarily the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed, the spiritual seed through which the Messiah would be born. And so we find this as we look at this eighth verse, that is, they which are the children of flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. So you see, we need to recognize, and on down we see the very connection concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and that promise. And so we need to lock in on the promise. The promise being the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 5, we have read that today. Whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came? So we know that that promise was made through man. The promise was made to Adam. And the promise many times, but we have it so clearly in the Word of God when that promise was given to Abraham. And Israel goes back to Abraham. They don't go back to Judah, because that's the line that the Lord Jesus goes through. But they always go back to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And so please that we understand here, and I hope you realize that through the line of Judah is where our Lord and Savior took on his flesh, his earthly body. The spiritual seed through which the Messiah would be born was through the descendants here. But we need to realize that this word promise is the most important word in this text. And that's kind of where we stopped last week, really, with this ninth verse. But we needed to kind of bring up a review. I don't want you to miss this. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. That is in verse 8. This promise of the Messiah, the Savior of the world, the Son of God, would be born, live, and die on the cross of Calvary to save us. And so when we see this, we need to realize that we don't need to be of a certain family or belonging to a certain denomination or a church or a certain cult, which there's many around. Even if you're an Israelite, that's not enough. You need to be involved. You need to accept this promise. And the promise that was given to Abraham, the promise that was given to Adam, as that promise continues, it was completed when Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary and lived and died, was crucified, died, buried, and rose again the third day. That is the promise. And he promised that salvation would come through him. And we need to trust in him as our Lord and Savior. So the spiritual seed through which the Messiah would be born, please that you look to the Lord Jesus. If the children of the promise are the only ones counted, of whom Isaac is the type, it is necessary to show that Isaac was a child of promise. And we have that here with Abraham, as speaking of the son being born, Isaac, in verse 9, and that is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. They were promised that that line, the nation, would be blessed because of a descendant of Abraham and Sarah. And at this time they had no children. And they were 90 was the age of Sarah, 100 years old was Abraham when they had Isaac. So you see that for all these years, now Ishmael that Abraham had with Hagar prior to this was not accepted. And if you look at the descendants of Ishmael, you realize that those descendants are following a cult. They are ungodly. They are not following the Word of God. They are not trusting in the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior. The descendants of Ishmael, and God knew that. God had his seed come through Isaac, through Abraham. Abraham, he received the righteousness given from God because he believed. Because he believed the Word of God. You need to believe the Word of God and nothing else. Don't get into these other books and all these things. Look to your precious Bible. The Word of God from Genesis to Revelation is complete. Everything that you need is there. So please that you reject some of these other things that are out there. Reject these other religions and come by faith to the Lord Jesus. If you'll notice, I do not speak much of this church. We follow the Word of God, verse by verse. You're very welcome to come. But my concern is that you would listen to this precious Word, be born again, trust in the Lord Jesus, and then find you a Bible-believing, soul-winning church that stands up on the old King James, the Word of God, and begin your wonderful life with Jesus. That's what I want. Now, you're welcome to come, but the importance, the reason for these radio broadcasts, for this time, is for you to know the Lord Jesus. So many have been deceived by their religions, by who they have followed all these years, and they've never opened up the Word of God. I want you to open the Word of God, and I want you to search it and study it and enjoy it. please look to the Word of God. As we find here that this promise, this child of promise, it was counted, as it said, the promise are counted for the seed. And then we come down to verse 9, for this is the word of promise. At this time will I come. He promised, and it happened. He promised, God the Father promised that the Son would come and die for our sins. He did. It's finished. All we need to do is come by faith to Him, and He's risen again. He's at the right hand of the Father right now. So please trust in the Lord Jesus. For, and not only was it a son of Isaac for Abraham and Sarah, but not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac. For the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. And it is said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. And then, as it is written in verse 13, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. Now, you think, well, they didn't have much choice to it. No, understand, as we have looked back in the 8th chapter, concerning the 29th verse, and you get into the foreknowledge of God. God knew Abraham. He knew what he was going to do, the choices he was going to make. And he chose to bless him and give him all the opportunities and the strength he needed to be a believer and to be a servant of God. Isaac the same. Jacob the same. Ishmael chose not to. Ishmael chose to be ungodly. And they are ungodly. Esau, Jacob and Esau, Rebekah and Isaac's two sons, even though Esau was born first, he never chose to be godly, to follow after God. Jacob did. And so you see, as God in his foreknowledge looked down through time, that's the reason we can have verse 13. Not that God set that into plan. He could see that Esau would follow after Ishmael. And as you see those things take place, you can understand a little bit better why these statements are made. Again, Isaac was a child of promise. He was born again. For this is the word of promise. Now, let's go back to Genesis chapter 18, verse 10. Genesis 18, 10. I hope you had the opportunity to open your Bibles and follow along. Genesis 18, 10, and he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now, they were well stricken in age. Again, 90 when Isaac was born. Abraham was 100. He had restored unto them their time of life because God promised. They believed, and that promise was given. And so, as we look, the seed, the word of promise, and you see there at this time, the scripture says in verse 9 of Romans chapter 9, verse 9, at this time, it was a God-sent time. This promise, we see that not the bodily descendants, but the divine promise, that's the real relationship belonging to Abraham's family, to be spiritually a member of Abraham's family is what is necessary today to be of the promise, to be a child of God. You see, this bodily descendants, this is connected with Abraham. People hold on to that, as you do, again, your church or your religion. And I want to tell you, you may be just fine, because maybe you're following the Word of God, and you've got a dear pastor that preaches the Word of God, and you've enjoyed it so. But I'm going to ask you, do you know the Word of God? Because if you have not studied the Word of God, you have no idea whether your pastor or your church is leading you down the path of righteousness, bringing you to a place of salvation, or is he just teaching something that he was taught in seminary, and maybe his dad was taught in seminary, and the few generations have passed here, and you just continue down that road of destruction. Because you see, it's very clear that we're condemned already. There's not a matter of trying to make a decision here that we can work our way. We're condemned. We're as a criminal that has been sentenced and condemned to death. Every individual that is born is condemned to die. The only way that we can get beyond that, past that, is to trust in Jesus as our Savior, because He took our place. He took our place. So please, I ask you that you get your Bible and open it up. And if you can't find that old King James, go buy you one. They're not, you know, you can't really find them, because so many places today, they hold on to other things and want to change the Word of God and take the power of God away. Please, that you find that. So as we're looking now, and again it says, and not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac. This shows us that God's promise has not broken down, even though the natural descendants of Abraham have no part in its fulfillment in Christ. We must see the difference between natural descendants and those who are the Israel of God, men of faith. We need to see the difference, because we have, again, Isaac and Jacob. We have Jacob, Esau, and Jacob. As we look down through Abraham, Isaac, then Jacob is the godly line. It doesn't go off to Ishmael, and all you have to look at Ishmael's family, Ishmael's descendants. You look at Esau's descendants, and you'll find the problem. You'll find why God said in verse 13, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Because Esau has rejected the gospel. If you've rejected the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, then you're condemned already. God hates sin, and you're a sinner. Unless you come by faith to Jesus and have that sin removed, then you can have fellowship with God. Jacob did. Esau didn't. Ishmael didn't. Isaac did. Please, look to the Lord Jesus Christ. These twins. Jacob becomes the nation of Israel. Esau becomes the father of Edom. Get your Bible dictionary out. Find out the descendants of Ishmael. Find out the descendants of Jacob and of Esau. Jacob is Israel. 12 sons come to Jacob. Esau, that's Edom. As we look at these lives of Ishmael, of Esau, of Edom, we will read from Malachi chapter 1, the first 5 verses. If you'd like to go there before the next time we get together, that'll be fine. But I need you to look at Ishmael and at Esau, and we're going to read from Malachi, and you're going to find something out. It's judgment. The message is to all 12 tribes concerning judgment. And so please that you will listen to that. Look to that. It's concerning the return after captivity. That's a lot of information. But my dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?